Our next storyteller is Sean Hannigan, and he is a homemaker, educator, freelance writer at work on a comedy about a brain-dead husband. He's also one of the people at the other end of the testing machine who read and score your child's government-mandated school exams. And he's taking complaints in the lobby at intermission. So Sean will be our last storyteller before we have the audience storyteller. So get ready, buckle up, and sit back for Sean. You're good. You're good.
Thank you. So when I was 18 years old, I was kicked out of my first semester of college after 1 month. Not for any good Animal House reason, but because I hadn't understood that being eligible for full financial aid wasn't the same thing as turning in all your paperwork. And so I was back home, and I had loved college. I loved the dorms, I loved the big classes, meeting new people, parties, not going to big classes. And I had been kicked out of paradise, and I was back sleeping on my bedroom floor with my brothers who had taken over with their chew cup spits everywhere decorating. And I, for the first of my life, wasn't really sure there was a place for me. I didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't have a job because I'd quit that to go away to college. So after couple lonely months, my friends started coming back from college and for winter break. And a couple of them got jobs in the men's clothing store in the small town that we lived in north of Chicago. And I had indicated to them that I might be interested in some work. And so when they called me saying there was a job possibility, I was pretty excited. And as it turned out, the town Santa Claus had had a heart attack. And in the interim since high school, I had put on quite a bit of weight because cheeseburgers back then were like 49 cents. And so my friends just thought this would be hilarious if I would be the Santa Claus. And I kind of got that it was funny. But I also, you know, to this day, when I see someone standing on the corner with a Statue of Liberty costume on, waving at traffic, I think, oh, I know. I get it. And, you know, it's for the money, but what price liberty, you know? And and so for $600 and 3 weeks' work, you know, I was going to don the red suit. And the first thing you have to do is practice your ho-ho-hos, which I challenge you on the way home to practice your ho-ho-hos because it's not as easy as you think. You ho-ho-ho, ho-ho, ho-ho-ho, green giant. And so I ended up somewhere kind of between Mickey Rooney and Jimmy Stewart with maybe some Harry Carey thrown in like, Merry Christmas, ho, ho, ho. And so like any, and so the thing was at the time, like the big threat was the malls, pre-Amazon. And so our little town was going to fight back against the malls with Santa Claus. And so we gussied up a trailer with glitter and velvet and paint and put it underneath the town water tower in the middle of a parking lot and said, now they'll come. And so on Saturdays, it was pretty busy. But like now, you know, after 4:30, it gets dark and cold. And it was really cold that winter, and it was snow on the ground. And so only a couple days into it, they took my elf away from me. And so I was alone in Santa's trailer with like a space heater and no windows. And coming from the water tower above me, the town could only afford one Christmas cassette tape, which was Johnny Mathis, just like over and over. And just was like, you know, flip over. And every 25 minutes, he'd ask, like, do you hear what I hear? And I'd be like, if you hear you singing, I sure do. And so I had a lot of time to think about my poor life. And I couldn't go, I couldn't just leave because Santa couldn't be seen walking the streets. And plus, I was held together with like bobby pins and a big black belt. I was a one pillow Santa. And so I'd have to wait for my handlers to come and get me, and there were no windows. So I never knew when I was done. And so one day the door opens up, and sometimes parents would come in just to check to see if this was, is this an ongoing thing? Or, so I bring my, and I'm like, yeah, Santa's in. So this man comes in, and I kind of give him a half ho because I'm not sure if he's like coming to pick me up or what's going on. I'm like, do you have kids? And he's like, my kids aren't with me. And I'm like, okay. So he shuts the door. And he's standing before Santa's velvet throne. I am king of nothing. And he starts saying, he goes, you know, and he's close to my age now. And he's like, I was driving by, and I, you know, a couple months ago I lost my job. And the bills are piling up, and nothing's getting paid. And I have two kids. And I just thought, you know. And I was like, and I had my Christmas epiphany right there. I'm like, oh, things are worse than I thought they were. Like, this is everywhere. It's not just me. This may not just be my worst Christmas ever. This might be all around the world. And he wanted a Christmas miracle. He came in for an answer from me. I was like, oh, brother. And as only a teenager can do when confronted by an adult with questions, I remained silent. But I kind of did know what to tell him because I'm not the first Santa Claus in my family. Like 9 years earlier, my dad, for much the same reasons, my sister had just been born, became a mall Santa, which is fine. But his conflict was he had also just become a born-again, speaking in tongues, evangelical Christians. So he had to reconcile, like, oh, you know, here's the word on Christmas right here in me. So what he did was, he, after getting the Santa negotiation, which is like, I'll give you what you want, you'd be cool, he would say, do you know the true story of Christmas? And he would tell them the story of Jesus and the nativity and no room at the manger and the star and the shepherds. And so when I got the gig, I kind of knew, like, that there was sort of like an implicit, like, so are you going to be like an evangelical Santa? And I was like, oh. Don't ask me. And, you know, they didn't ask me. And so I was like, Santa is just enough. So I knew in that moment that this was the end of the movie. Like, I could just lay on, this was Linus on stage. I could lay on this story. But I was Charlie Brown. And so I was like, oh, you know, I don't know what to say. And we sort of hung in this moment there. And I finally said, I'm sorry. And he said he was sorry, too. And I think now, like, if I, by some Christmas magic, if I could go back and give my teenage Santa Claus words, I would say to him that, you know, all these stories, it's not about the gifts, it's about the gifts. It's about the fact that we don't even need to be here. Like, this universe came out of existence, out of nowhere. We're made out of the stuff that stars are made out of, the same star that shines. And you have kids, and that the miracle is bigger than Christmas. It's okay, you know, and you and I being here together, as crazy as this is, that's good too. And, but I didn't say that, because I was a teenage Santa Claus. And so he walked away, and but what I did say to him as he was leaving was, Merry Christmas. And he turned to me, and he said, Merry Christmas, Santa Claus. And he left. And so, Merry Christmas.